We'll get to episode 259 in just a moment, but before we do, I'd like to ask for your support of I Can't See You. Whenever you need to make a purchase at Amazon.com, please use my affiliate link by going to ICan'tSeeYou.com/Amazon. Shop as you normally do, check out as you normally do, it doesn't cost you anything more, and I may earn a small commission from your qualifying purchase. Again, that's ICan'tSeeYou.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support. I really do appreciate it.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 259 of I Can't See You. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I'm really glad you're here for this episode, and welcome inside Studio B. I've got a couple of things to talk about today, and we're going to start off with what I've started the last couple of episodes on, and that is the NFB of Pennsylvania raffle tickets. For the month of April, they have a raffle going on. And in case you haven't joined us, we are selling tickets that goes for the entire month, from the 1st to the 30th. A $5 ticket gives you 30 chances to win. If you win from Sunday through Friday, you win $50. If you win on a Saturday night, you win $100. So it's well worth it. As I've said before, I've won a few times over the last few drawings, and every time I say that, I cringe because that now means I probably will not win this year. I usually buy $100 worth of tickets. That's 20 tickets. And like I said, I've won, I believe, every time for the last three times they've done the drawing. They do it in April and October. We did miss a time or two during COVID. But again, tickets are $5. If you're interested, please contact me via email, ICan'tSeeYouPodcast@gmail.com. We can take the payment. I could take it on Cash App, or if you do Venmo, Liz has a Venmo account. We will fill out your ticket. I'll send you a picture of the filled out ticket. Obviously, you're going to have to send me your name and address and phone number. So when you win, the NFB of Pennsylvania sends you the check. And you get a check usually within a week or two of the end of the month. So sometime in May, you'll get a check if you win, and you will win because somebody's got to win. There's 1,000 numbers. You've got a 1 in 1,000 chance if you buy one ticket. I was telling Alex today he had a 6 in 1,000 shot because he bought 6 tickets. So again, please, if you can do it, I'd love for you to buy a ticket or 2 or 7 or 10 or whatever you can do for April's raffles. They go to the general fund. October's raffle goes to the scholarship funds, where we issue a scholarship or two each year to college students, obviously for tuition. So again, reach out to me, ICan'tSeeYouPodcast@gmail.com. Now, if you saw me last week in episode 258, I was holding a ticket, and I ended up, that ticket, Alex ended up buying that ticket. Not that he knew that he was buying that ticket, but he bought 6 tickets, and that happened to be one of them, number 997. So you can follow along to see if Alex wins. But I am always amazed at things that I do. I was talking about the ticket, and I was holding it in my right hand, and then I looked at it as if I were reading it. I couldn't see any of the writing on there. And I was wondering as I was doing this, as I was watching the video, I'm thinking, just like in the fantasy football draft, the blind league fantasy draft from a few years ago, the Yahoo documentary, I believe the cover of the documentary has a picture of me and several other people, and I am looking down at my phone like I can actually see it. I can't see what's on there. And I just think it's funny that people, if you don't know me, and you're watching this video, you're thinking this guy is looking at his ticket or looking at that ticket. And I can't see it. I couldn't see it. I couldn't tell that it's 997 until I read it with Seeing AI. And I just think it's funny that I do that. It just looks like I'm actually reading it. Just like it looks like sometimes Iggy is watching TV, but a little bit different there. So again, any help you could do, I'd really appreciate it. And I do still have some tickets left. So reach out to me, please, if you're interested. Speaking of apps, Liz and I went to lunch over the weekend to a place called Brio, which is in the Christiana Mall. I was going to pick up my Mac Mini, and the the accessories that don't come with it when you buy a Mac Mini, because the only thing that comes with a Mac Mini is the power cord. So I bought a new mouse and I bought a new keyboard. But we were having lunch beforehand, and we went to a place, like I said, called Brio, and it was not too busy. It was busy, but not crazy busy, and it wasn't really loud. And Liz started to read me the menu. I said, hang on, let me try something. And I took my phone out, and I launched Be My Eyes, and I took a picture of the menu. Now, Liz had read me a good chunk of the menu. One of the things that she read is lasagna, and I love lasagna, and I considered getting it until she told me it had 1,700 calories. I wasn't going to eat 1,700 calories in one meal. Most days, I try not to eat too many more calories than 1,800 or so. Obviously, there's days I go past that, but 1,700 calories for one meal, and this was obviously going to be the bulk of our meal, even though it was a lunch, we were there at lunch. But I took out my phone, I took the image, and I listened to what it said. Now, Be My Eyes only read a few things from each section of the menu. Now, the cool thing about Be My Eyes, and Seeing AI for that matter, you can then go and ask it questions. Tell me all the pasta dishes, tell me all the salads, whatever. So I knew that the lasagna had 1,700 and something calories, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to ask it how many calories it had. It couldn't tell me. It said it's not visible. So then I said, how much is it? And I had asked Liz how much the lasagna was, and I don't remember the price. I want to say it was around $20. And it couldn't tell me. It said it was invisible. Then I said, what is in the lasagna? And Be My Eye said, lasagna is invisible. Now, it had already read it to me in the initial telling me some of the things that were in on the menu. So I took another image. And again, it said it couldn't see lasagna on there. So I thought that was very interesting. And I was a little bit discouraged by that fact. Because in most cases, it has been awesome to ask it things and find out what's on the menu or find out, like I said, the salads. The first time I tried Seeing AI with a menu, it was awesome. I was in a hotel room and I took a shot of the menu that was for room service, and it, you know, started listing everything, and it was weirdly formatted, the menu itself. So it was going from one thing to another awkwardly when Seeing AI was telling me. So I finally just stopped reading that part of it, having it read to me. And I just asked it, what are the salads? And it read me the salads and it told me what was in it and how much they were and so forth. So I was disappointed with Be My Eyes because that's usually very reliable, usually very descriptive. And again, I'll try more as I go forward with it, but it is a very useful tool. And what's funny is on Monday, late Sunday night, I got an email from someone from the University of Texas at Austin, and I had signed up to do some sort of study there, and I don't remember what the study was, and that had gotten pushed back some, and this person emailing me said that there was another study I could participate in, and I said, sure, I'll do that. What is your availability this Monday and Tuesday? And I thought, well, at this point, it's already after midnight, so it technically for me was Monday. And I said, if you mean today, I'm available from here to there, and Tuesday here to there. And I said, if you mean next Monday and Tuesday, I gave my hours. So sure enough, at around 3 a.m. my time, the girl said, great. And I said, I could do, you know, I'm good with that time. I responded. And at noon, I did this test, going through, it was basically descriptions of, I guess, what an AI would tell you, and is it too much in an image, not enough, how was it helpful, was it not helpful, but it was very cool, and it just reminded me as I was sitting there the day before in the restaurant trying to figure out what was on the menu and why it wasn't telling me that the lasagna had 1,700 calories. I mean, maybe it didn't want me to know, but I just thought that was funny that that test came about very quickly. So I haven't gotten my gift card yet from Amazon for it, but we'll see how that comes about. The main topic I wanted to talk about today is television. And Liz and I love The Equalizer. I don't know if you watch that with Queen Latifah, but we watched The Equalizer. And the one that was on this past weekend was called Blind Justice. When it first came on, I thought, oh, this is an episode that I know the person who auditioned for the blind position in this episode. And if you want to hear, the reading of that, you can listen to that Real Blind Tech show. And I'll put the link in the show notes because I don't remember the episode number. But Brian had auditioned for it and didn't get it, obviously. The one thing Brian had on this guy is Brian is blind. This other guy was not. And it was really discouraging to me that they would claim this guy is blind. He didn't even use a white cane. They had one of those walking canes that you would walk with. One of those thick, you know, with the big rubber bottom. And that's what he was using as his quote unquote cane. And that was, it just really bothered me. And it made me think back to the NFB convention a couple of years ago, a few years ago now. It was before COVID, so it's got to be 5 years ago now because I want to say it was 2019. It's 2018 or 2019. It was in Vegas. And as I get ready to book for this year's convention in Orlando, I still refuse to fly American Airlines because they cost me 3 days of that convention and about $1,000 in not staying in a hotel room that I ended up paying for. So I was thinking about that because there was a resolution that came out of that convention. And it was a resolution that said, if you have someone who is a blind character in a show, movie, whatever, that should be played by a blind person. And at the beginning, I thought, that sounds fairly reasonable. And then a young girl got up, and young in my eyes, maybe not even in Jane's eyes, probably late teens, early 20s. And she said, if you put that resolution in, we're never going to get any other roles. None. Because we're only going to get the blind roles if we get them. And I thought, you know, she's right. But nobody wanted that. Everybody was, hey, if it's a blind character, we got to play the blind. I mean, it's acting. Yes, I get it. Sighted people can play blind people. But a blind person should be able to play a sighted person. I'm not saying they should jump behind the wheel of a car and drive around doing all sorts of tricks. But the character that was played by this guy, and this guy does have some eye issue. And I don't remember what it was. Liz read me his IMDb page. So he does have something, but he's not blind. It never mentioned blind on his IMDb page. And it just wasn't right the way they gave the typical, You know, when they portray blind people, they do one of two things. They either Mr. Magoo him or they go the other way and he can hear everything and sense everything and know everything but except see anything. And that's what this guy was. Some of the clues, oh, I smelled this and I smelled that. And you must be a boxer because I can tell by your breathing you've got a deviated septum. Okay, come on. We all have superpowers, right? I don't know what mine is, by the way. I'm still waiting for it. But I just thought it was again, the typical character that the way they portray blind folks on TV. And the fact that the guy wasn't blind, bothered me. And the way they portrayed him bothered me. Sticking with CBS, again, Brian and I have gone back and forth about things that are audio described. And it's funny how we love a lot of the same shows. We both love the FBI, different FBI shows. We love SEAL Team, which I guess isn't on CBS anymore. It's on Paramount. We talked about another one that The Equalizer. I'm pretty sure he watches that. And Tracker. He started watching Tracker. Now, Liz and I watch Tracker, and Liz and I watch The Equalizer together. So that's my audio description on those shows. So I can't gauge that. Oh, SWAT was the other one. Liz doesn't watch SWAT. Liz doesn't watch the FBIs. When I started watching SWAT, when the season started a few episodes ago, I thought, you know what? I'm going to watch it on Paramount and see how it is. The difference between watching it on Paramount and watching it on CBS on the DVR is probably 10 or 12 minutes difference because I've got to sit through commercials on Paramount. On the DVR, I just fast forward through them. But I wasn't sure that it would have audio description on CBS. So I didn't even bother to try because it's a rigmarole that you've got to go through to set it up. Now, I can leave part of it on and it doesn't affect the audio. But to go in, it's not easy for me to do. And sometimes, depending on how my vision is, I sometimes need help to get to where I need to be to turn it off and on. And it's basically turning on the last step is turning on the separate audio program, the Spanish track. I don't know where the Spanish is, but it's usually AD on that channel. I had watched SWAT with audio description, and I didn't really need it. I don't remember what the episode had, what was going on in the episode. I mean, there were some subtitles, which obviously I couldn't read, so that was helpful. But for the most part, I could kind of tell what was going on. After watching that, Brian and I had been talking, and he said, oh, it, you know, the FBI's have audio description. I said, oh, I'm going to see. I have one on the DVR. And he had watched it on, I guess, Paramount Plus. So I put on the DVR. I don't remember which one it was. I turned the audio to the separate audio program. And instead of having great audio, now the audio description and all the audio on Paramount Plus sounded great. It was the regular audio just with additional commentary about what was going on, whether it was reading subtitles, whether it was whatever. When I put the audio description on the DVR show, the FBI show that I had on, all of the sound disappeared except for from one side and one half of that side of speakers. The audio description, the soundtrack, and the dialogue were all just coming out of one side and one part of my speaker, of my TV. It was horrible. The audio quality was horrible. So why do we have to pay that price when we're getting it through CBS? It's clearly on there. It wasn't different from the audio that was on Paramount Plus. Why did we have to listen to that horrible sound? I was talking to Brian a couple days ago, and he went to watch, I don't remember if he said episode 2 or episode 3 of FBI, no audio description on it. And I don't remember, or he was watching on Paramount. So why is it that one episode has it, one episode doesn't have it? It's very inconsistent. And I don't know how they would deal with that. What if they did closed captioning only on some shows? You know, maybe episode 1, 7, and 10 have closed captioning, all the others don't. Would people be mad? I'm kind of thinking they would. But why is there, just like with the way the blind person was portrayed in that episode, why is it okay to have the audio description as crappy as it was on CBS? Are they trying to force you to get Paramount Plus and pay that money each month? Or is it not even that bad? They just, is it worse? They just don't care. And that's the answer, or I don't know what the answer is, but something's just funny and it just doesn't seem right. So I'm curious to see moving forward once FBI's come back on and see if they have audio description. I was watching an episode of SWAT that had people speaking Japanese, a lot of subtitles. I didn't turn on audio description or go over to Paramount Plus to watch it because, you know, you can't fast forward through those commercials. You can't, once you get to a commercial block, you got to stay and watch those, and then you can fast forward through the programming. At this point, I was, you know, into the show enough that I didn't want to take it back and start all over. I also didn't want to turn on the crappy audio description that would have been on my DVR. Because again, it was horrible. And I've had on, I think it was 911, where the audio description was so poor, there was even like a tapping sound. And I just don't get what the disconnect is to, hey, you know, blind folks deserve at least decent audio. They can't see what's on the screen. How about some decent audio? And it's on there. That's the thing that's just really bothersome. Everything is good on there. They don't put out bad audio on a TV show. And usually, even if it's text-to-speech audio description, it's still at least easy to hear and you can get through it. But this is so poor that I was just amazed. I was just amazed at the audio quality. So it'll be interesting to see moving forward, once the FBI's come back, if that is going to, if the next round of episodes have audio description, and let's see how it is on the DVR. Now, before I go, I wanted to mention White Canes Connect. And I know I always talk about White Canes Connect, and I'm trying to promote it and trying to build it up because it's definitely got a bigger reach than this podcast. So when I talk about the show and it comes out in the transcript, which transcripts are now available if you upgrade your iOS, you can actually get them. Frank had messaged me the other day asking me if I knew that that was a thing now. And they notified us by email probably about a month or two ago saying that that was going to happen. And evidently it has. I don't think I've upgraded yet, so I haven't even noticed. White Canes Connect episode 098 is about low vision awareness. And we had three people on, a person named Lachelle Smith, who is a professor at Salus University, S-A-L-U-S. I've heard so much about it, but know so little. Salus University. We had Steve Kelly on from Hadley. And we had Pam Beccaro, who is in the NFB of Pennsylvania and part of, in fact, president of the Blind Merchants Division of the NFB of Pennsylvania. And they are all low vision folks. Steve and Lachelle are both, oh, and I'm going to get this wrong, they are certified vision, I'll put it in the show notes. They are trained therapists for folks that have vision issues. Whatever their title is, it's in the show notes. And we all talked about, and Lisa and I are also low vision. And one of the things that was part of the discussion is the spectrum that is low vision. Once you hit 20 over 200, you're legally blind. But low vision can be less than legally blind. So when you say someone has low vision, a lot of folks think that either have sight or you don't. There's not that big area in the middle. Pardon me if I call it gray. It's usually fuzzy too. We talked about that. We talked about techniques that you could use to do certain things. We talked about assistive technology devices that help. And it was interesting. I had asked all of them, and we gave our responses to what is your favorite tool to use? And most folks said the phone. And I've said that again, I've got a love-hate relationship with my iPhone. When it works, it is fantastic. But there are so many times that it is so frustrating to use that it... I'm sure it's taking years off my life trying to use it. Never mind the radiation that I'm getting it, carrying it around in my pocket. But we talked about them. It's episode 098. Another cool thing about White Canes Connect is, obviously, we're coming up to 100 episodes. Next episode will be 099, which I'm not sure when that's going to come out. We don't have it recorded. We don't know what it's going to be. I may use something that folks have given us from some webinars that were done. I may do something from the leadership seminar I'm going to this weekend in State College, Pennsylvania. I'm not sure what it's going to be. I was thinking it could be the monthly digest, but I don't have time to get that done. And by the time I get back from leadership seminar, I think it's way too late to put that out because we're a third of the way through March. And the monthly digest talks about upcoming events in March. And one third of it's over. It's dumb to put that out. So I'm not sure what 99 will be, but we found out today that episode 100, we're going to have NFB president Mark Riccobono on. And I'm really looking forward to that. I've talked to him a few times. We went down as the Keystone chapter years ago, probably 2018-ish, to Baltimore to have a look around the National Center. I've been to National Center a few other times and talked to him then when I learned what to do and how to promote NFB Newsline. And if you're not familiar, NFB Newsline is a service where back in the day, you had to use your telephone. You could use a touch-tone phone and dial in and read all the articles in the New York Times or all the articles in the Wall Street Journal. Now there's an app, and you could use it to do the same things. It's very cool because there are no images. And if you are ever on your phone and you go to a webpage, let's say something on MSN, and there's ads and there's videos that pop up, that plays such havoc on the screen reader, and you get caught and it stops reading it. It'll stop reading an article. You might be halfway through a paragraph that's fairly long, and it'll stop reading it right in the middle. Or in the Wall Street Journal's instance, it's behind a paywall and you can't read it. Well, I then log on to NFB Newsline and I read the article if I'm that interested in it. Usually with the with the Wall Street Journal articles, there's usually enough in the teaser section for me to know what the article is about, and I don't need to know the rest of it. I figure I'll find out the rest at some point in time or another, whether I hear about it on the radio or on the news on TV, which I don't know why I still watch that, but I do. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Mark Riccobono in episode 100. So again, episode 098 with Lachelle Smith, the professor at Salus University, Steve Kelly from Hadley, and Pam Baccaro, who is the president of the Blind Merchants, as well as she is a vendor in the Randolph Shepherd Business Enterprise Program. She has a grab-and-go, a mini-mart, what I used to call a blind bodega in Harrisburg. She is in, I believe, a postal facility there. It's open 24 hours a day during the week. As I was telling you a week or two ago, there's a lot of cameras, and there are times when the store is open that there's not an employee in there. It was a great interview, a great conversation talking to these folks. And again, we all do things a little bit differently. And one of the cool things about talking to other folks who are in your same boat, whether they have the same visual acuity or not, they may say something and say, hey, maybe you should try this or try it this way. And to boot, since the two of them were certified vision therapists, again, also another part to how you can go about and do things. So again, a really interesting episode. Again, episode 098 of White Canes Connect. Well, that's going to do it for episode 259. As I said, I am heading to State College, Pennsylvania this weekend, so I'm sure I'll have plenty to tell you next week. And I'm looking forward to going and picking up a lot of interesting information along the way, as well as it's been more to work for than in the past because there are different groups, and I am the leader of one of the groups, the technology committee. So I've had to prepare for that. I've also had a whole bunch, like when you go away, you know, you have all this stuff to do and get done before you go. It's been like that. So I'll talk about that next week. But again, you can get the show notes for episode 259 over on the website, icanseeyou.com/259. That's icanseeyou.com/259, numerically speaking. And remember, I Can't See You sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only 7 characters long. icanseeyou.com/259. Find me over on all the socials under David Benj. That's Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, X, LinkedIn, and YouTube, where you can listen to this episode and look at a static image on your screen, or at I Can't See You, where you can watch me talk to you right now. Again, youtube.com/@ICanSeeYou. Got it? Okay. I really do appreciate you listening. Questions, comments, show ideas, please reach out. ICanSeeYouPodcast@gmail.com. ICanSeeYouPodcast@gmail.com. As well as if you want some of those raffle tickets, I'd really appreciate that. You can also phone in your questions, comments, show ideas, what you love, what you hate, anything you've got. Call me up. That's 646-926-6350. Again, 646-926-6350. Again, I really do appreciate you listening to this episode of I Can't See You. Be well, stay safe, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.